fighting.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning, man. Oh, man, oh, man. I hope things have cleared up down there in Texas where they're not used to all that cold weather. I watched a video last night. I was going to show, but there was too much swearing in it. Not that I don't listen. I grew up in a locker room. You know, swearing don't bother me. I understand the witness. I get it. But a lot of F-bombs in it. But it was this guy who was walking in downtown Austin. It was really, really, really amazing. I sent it to Chad. Maybe Chad, I don't know if we can mute it or not. But this guy's walking in downtown Austin, and he makes the most unbelievable point. He goes to Chase Bank, and Chase Bank, as you know how these big banks are in these large cities. Well, Chase Bank has, it looks like they own about a block, you know. They got a parking garage, and they got drive-in windows, and he's down there at, I don't know what time it was, but it's dark, after dark. And he said people in Texas are freezing to death, literally, because they're rolling blackouts. You guys know that, right? And he was showing all the lights that were on at PNC Bank. I think it was PNC Bank. He went into the parking garage. Everywhere you looked, the world was lit up. He looked inside the lobby. The lobby's totally lit up, and it was like unbelievable. Then he showed another bank, and it was the same thing. And he said, what is going on that all these banks in downtown Austin, they got lights and power, and people a mile down the road don't have any power. I didn't have an answer, but boy, man, oh, man. All we got to do is look around. There's something happening here, folks. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Boy, oh, boy. Hey, listen, Bobby Lee got his money back. What? Yeah, he got his money back. You know, we talked the other day about them throwing him out of the hotel and all that stuff. He finally got a hold of corporate, and Bobby got all of his money back. Praise the Lord, Bobby. I don't know if he's going to continue to fight on it or not. Mike Blake's getting better. I don't know if Mike's in here today. He's going to work, moving back on his medication. Evidently, it wasn't a growth on his lung, but some type of infection or something like that. So keep praying for Mike. He's getting better. Larry said his wife is doing better. Gail cooked two meals yesterday. She hadn't done that in like forever. So, you know, I was thinking this morning as I didn't know if I was being led by the Lord or not, the Holy Spirit or not. You know, we don't have any idea the burdens that are being borne by the people in this queue. If I were to open up the microphone and say, hey, tell me something crappy going on in your life, I probably wouldn't get past the first person, right? Life's a burden, man. Life's a burden. I hope when you come here every day, even though we tend to talk about you know, all the things that are going wrong in the world, I hope you leave here every day and you're encouraged that you got to, it's a marathon. We run a race. We have to finish the course. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that the reality of it is I get up every day and I don't ponder on it, but I think, golly, well, let me tell you this. My cousin died. You say, I don't want to go too in depth on this because I just don't want to let too much information. My cousin used to be president of Daytona International Speedway. He was the big cheese. He ran the whole thing down in Florida. And 2 days ago, they found him dead. Now he wasn't running Daytona anymore. He kind of retired and was living on a big boat down in the Daytona area, and they found him dead. And I was thinking, man, oh man. When Robin, that was his name, when Robin was facing his moment of death, I wonder what I was doing. Was I sitting around messing around on the computer? Was I on the phone talking to somebody? At that moment in his life, when His life is seeping out. They don't know the cause of death yet. What was I doing? I don't mean that in a we're all so disassociated with one another, aren't we? We're so disassociated, when in fact there's a real connectivity to all of us that you never it never ever goes away, does it? And the old idea that, you know, we're all in this thing together. Where would you be? Where would I? You don't have to get. Thank you for the condolences. It's okay, man. Like, you know, death's a part of life. It is. Where would you? I'm just telling from my own heart. I don't know where I'd be without this huddle. I don't know where. During the course of the day, my phone rings. People call me. Kevin Faye, still no join the queue option on the website, Spencer. I don't know what's going on. Still no join the queue option. I have conversations and emails during the course of the day, and I'm thinking about, I don't know where you are. I have a whole new set of friends. But it's more than friendship. It's more than that. And, you know, we spent all that time yesterday talking about the huddles, and I'm sorry if that bored some of you guys, but I think it's really, 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 really critical that we begin to get together. So we spent that time doing that yesterday. But most of you, who would you guys be leaning on for spiritual growth if you weren't here? Certainly the Lord, right? But the Lord told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we feed off each other's multitude of many counselors. Is great wisdom, great knowledge, great understanding. And so I was thinking, as I was coming down the steps into my multi-million dollar studio today, I said, boy, I'm so glad I have this. I'm so glad I have this group to come down and spend some time with today, because we're all walking the same walk in a sense, aren't we? We're all dealing with problems. We're all dealing with ups and downs and things that we're praying about. And I don't even know what I'm saying, but I guess I'm glad you're all here. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Pull up the calendar if you could real quick for me there, Spencer. I should have given you more warning. We're adding stuff every day, and we got to talk to Tim and Naomi. We got to get back to them. They want to get one organized. Bobby's getting something. I'm sorry. What's his name? Clay's getting stuff organized. But if you get a chance sometimes, folks, just go to the calendar and just check out all the things that we're going on, because we think these things are going to continue to expand. And the truth is, you got to do this yourself. You can't always rely on us to be able to do it. That's why I love Bobby Lee. Bobby said, hey, coach, I'm having a thing down in Kentucky next weekend. Can you make it? Yeah, Bobby, I'd make it. Okay, cool. We're doing it. Hey, coach, I'm having one in Pennsylvania next month. Can you make it? Yeah. And so he's taking the initiative, and Chad taking the initiative, and others. And really in the mess that we're in, folks, the truth is, you know, most people you're hanging around aren't awake. Most of them aren't. There are a lot of them around you who are, but most of them aren't. And so we're going to have to begin to take the initiative. We had an amazing thing happen. I think it's amazing. People say, coach, how many people listen to the show? I don't know. And I don't want, it would be a lie to say I didn't care, because numbers matter. I mean, yeah, I care how many, but I don't know. I mean, you go online, you look and say, golly, coach, you had 700 views on YouTube. Well, I don't trust them. I trust them about as far as I can throw them. So I don't even know that, but we had an amazing thing happen yesterday. After the show was over, we had 115 people signed up for emails yesterday. 115 new signees yesterday. Now, I don't know if those were new people. I don't know if those are folks just hanging around, but something happened yesterday that people said, hey, I better get my name on that list. I better get in it. And that encouraged me. Because there are more of us out there than what we even understand. So up on the calendar, February 26th, Chad's having one down to Estes Ranch. We got one coming here the 27th. Mike Blake's up and getting one organized for us on 27th, 28th. Oklahoma Salt and Light Brigade or Randy and Kay's. Then the Go Therefore Conference with Mike Spaulding here in Ohio, March 5th. God, March is just around the corner. It's soon going to be spring. Gives you hope spring's eternal, right? North Georgia area huddle on March 6th, Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade huddle on March 13th, Ohio Salt Lake huddle June 18th, Tennessee Salt Light. Now look, folks, two things I want to point out there really, really quickly, because we're The power is in the smaller gatherings, okay? We have the big annual one here, June 18th. A lot of people will come, and it's great to have everybody. But the power is in the small groups. That's the small ones. Let's focus on those, all right? But two of them that we do see as really big ones right now are the Salt and Light Brigade Huddle on the 18th here in June. Get that on your calendar and come. It's a big fellowship time for all of us. And then Clay's working really hard on the – it's just like a family getaway type thing on Tennessee Law, Salt and Light Brigade, August 20th. So just mark those things down. If you can make them, you can make them. If not, I've done my duty. Okay, I'm going to move on, okay? Real quick. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
They got a call from a gentleman up in Minnesota, and I had Gary find us some folks nearby.
Uh-huh.
But he's longing to assemble with folks, and he's not near anyone but a couple people. But he's willing to organize and have a huddle up there. So I'll provide more information as it develops.
All right. So if you can, Mark, even get that to us. And see, folks, one of the things we're doing that we think is going to be really, really effective is once we find out who our core leaders are, we're going to start out with about 8 or 10 of them, get them rolling. Let's say I'm just going to pick out a name. Let's say it is Mark Trump. Mark says, listen, I'll host a huddle, coach. Well, then we will provide Mark a list of, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 people who are in the surrounding area with maybe within a couple hours, 3 hour drive of Mark, and we'll connect those two together. That's how we want to try to be able to help build the local huddles. We don't want to control the local huddles. We want them to be autonomous. We want you to be able to get together with like-minded people. And why we want you to sign up is so that we have you on the list. So then if you live in Virginia and you want to get together with somebody from Virginia, we connect you with Mark Trump, who's in Virginia. So that's really what we're trying to do. So even if you're out there today and you still haven't given us your sign-up information, please do that. Because, again, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And I got a lot of stuff I could talk about that today. Anything else there, Mark? Appreciate it. I'm trying to see if I get my hand. Am I going to hand up?
Yeah, that's it. If you're in Minnesota, let Coach know so we can get you assembled.
Yeah. Crazy things going on, man. Crazy things going on. I'm going to show you this. I want to start off bad news today. Can I start off bad news today? Sure, I can. First thing I want you to play this morning for, Spencer, is George Orwell. This is only about 2 minutes. I just came across this the other day. It's an interview with George Orwell. Raise your hand out there if you've never read 1984. You don't have to, but you can buy 1984 for $2 someplace. That is a must read. It was written by George Orwell in 1948. He just superimposed the numbers and called it 1984. And it was a prediction of where we were heading with communism, socialism, all the isms, back before the internet, before mass communications, before we understood. We can never forget that the kings of this world have been conspiring against the Lord and his anointed for a very, very long time. It all connects scripturally, biblically, spiritually. It's all connected. And George Orwell was a secular prophet, if you will. Now, I'd never seen this. I'd never seen George Orwell personally. I'd never seen an interview of him. He died at like 44, 45 years old. But this is a pretty haunting little video of George Orwell talking about 1984. It's only 2 minutes and 27 seconds. Go ahead there, Sheldon or Spencer.
By the time Orwell married Sonia Brownell, 1984 was written, after which he would never leave his bed again.
He's bedridden.
But he left one final warning.
1984 is, I believe, a quite terrifying masterpiece. So terrifying, in fact, I don't think I should like to read another like it.
I am not absolutely dissatisfied with it. I think it is a good idea, but the execution would have been better if I had not been under the influence of TB when I wrote it.
He died of tuberculosis.
You once claimed that you have an ability to face unpleasant facts. Is that what you've demonstrated in 1984 by drawing an accurate portrait of the future?
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody, something like 1984 could actually happen. this is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. The sex instinct will be eradicated. We shall abolish the orgasm. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen.
Don't let it happen. The solution is simple. Don't let it happen. So there's proof that the devil has prophets, because George, if you haven't read that book, it's a very, very short read, and it's almost blood curdling of how accurate George Orwell was. Because ultimately, see what we are under. Pull up what I want to go. Where do I want to go? Yeah, that's where I want to go. Let's go to. It says delusion. Delusion. I always want to get a little bit of Bible in here, because Roger beats up on me. Says you don't do enough Bible. So I want us to go to 2 Thessalonians. Hey, Joe, is your voice working this morning? Is he even in here? I don't know if I see him in here this morning.
Yes, I'm in here.
All right, Joe. Hey, Joe, give us this, folks. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, and I don't want to come in here every day and talk about the masks and the virus, and I don't want to do that. But it is so entangled in what's going on in the world. And if we don't understand what's happening with the masks and the virus and the lockdown, if we don't understand it, if we think it's just a health issue, well, then we're missing the whole thing. So I come in and I want to talk about this from a spiritual standpoint. Mark Trump told me the other day, I shared it a little bit yesterday, that Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland he can. Mark Bezos, is that the guy who owned, who owned Amazon? Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos sold much of his stock, stepped down as CEO of Amazon, and he is buying farmland. Why are they buying farmland? Spencer, real quick, before I go there, go to where it says, where is it? Synthetic beef, down at the bottom. Put that up there before we read this. Folks, just listen. You are a beacon of light in your family. I hate to keep hammering on this, but if there are those out that you come in contact with on a daily basis that will not awaken if you don't awaken them. Now, I'm not talking about going around continually to hit them over the head and bang on them. That's not what I'm talking about, folks. But to help them to open their eyes and see. Because Dr. Mercola, I got a great, I got a lot for you today. Scroll to the top of this, Spencer. I'm not going to read down this article, but I want you to see this. Bill Gates says all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef.
Except him.
Now, I don't want to get into the Antichrist and who's the Antichrist and blah, blah, blah. Dude, this guy here is something right out of, this guy's right out of the pit of hell. And the power that he has, he's controlling the medical, whatever we want to call that community. Vaccinations. He's talking about another vaccination, another virus. This guy ain't a doctor. He's buying up all this food or property. Talking about synthetic beef. Synthetic. You guys know what synthetic is, right? Synthetic is what? Human-made, man-made? Man-made beef? I used to call that chicken. Isn't that what children is? Aren't children synthetic? I don't know. My mind. So anyway, let me go back here real quick. I see your hand up here, Clay. I'll get to you in a second. What did I ask you to pull? 2 Thessalonians. Thank you, Lord. Joe, read this to us. because, again, folks, tie together masks, vaccination, food, fear. Go ahead and read this, Joe.
2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him.
There it is again, Joe. There it is again. Once your eyes get attuned, and you'll see how often he's talking about gathering together, assembling together, coming together. And the world is trying to get us to do just the opposite. Go ahead.
That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand.
At hand means imminent. It is present, imminent. The day of Christ is here, folks. It's imminent. Christ can be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, it is here. Now, it's not a coming kingdom. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is within us. The righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it is with us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It has come. Whether we will enter into that kingdom, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, all right? And isn't it amazing that Paul here is saying, don't be soon shaken in mind, because where do you get shaken? In mind, right? Where do you get troubled? In spirit, yeah, don't do that. How do you get troubled? Well, by words or by letters. Or today he would say by the internet or by YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or Twatter or Twimmer. He's saying, don't let these things of this world that are being controlled by the forces of darkness in this world, don't let it trouble you. Don't let it be shaken by it, because why? Day of Christ is at hand. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Go ahead, Joe.
Let no man deceive you by any means.
Hang on. Joe. Hey, Joe, must be a lot of means. Must be a lot of means. He said, don't let him do it by any means. Must be a lot of means. Go ahead. But I'm sorry. Hey, Joe, put a cork in my mouth. I'm doing my best. Shut up.
Yes, sir. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Hang on, Joe, real quickly. See, we've taken this verse to say a falling away from the faith. And that may be it, but I think it's a falling away from truth. The thing that's destroying us in the world today is not just people falling away from the faith. The world has fallen away from any truth, and those who are in control, or those who are propagating it, or those who are giving us the propaganda, they have no interest in truth. The end justifies the means. So this great falling away is happening. Is what? We're falling away from the truth. Some from the faith, but truth. Go ahead.
Who, son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Wow.
Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things.
Yeah, why are we shocked? Why are we shocked? Some of you have been in here 5 years. Why are we shocked? Keep going.
And now ye know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For this mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will it. Let me read that again.
That's all right, brother.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let.
Amen.
Until he be taken out of the way.
So, folks, that the mystery of iniquity, that Antichrist spirit's already at work. It was a work back when this was written. What do I mean by Antichrist? Against Christ. Rather than making it, the Antichrist, the man of perdition, the son of, well, rather than that, look at it as a spirit. Rather than a person, but a spirit, an enveloping of the world in total confusion. We're there. There's a falling away from truth, and we are surrounded by foolishness. Go ahead.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
See, he's going to destroy he's going to destroy more than just the Antichrist. He shall destroy all of it with the brightness of his coming. I'm sorry, Joe, keep going.
That's right. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
I got to stop you there. See, the deceivableness of unrighteousness. Folks, words mean things. Unrighteousness is deceptive. It's the deceivableness of unrighteousness, teaching us that unrighteous is good. It's good. See, it's deceiving us. Go ahead, Joe. I'll shut up. No, it won't.
I know. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish,
why?
Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause,
Joe, God hang on. Joe, them... what? Joe, what cause? And for this cause.
All of this that we just showed.
Yeah, but I'm an English minor. This is a connecting phrase. It's a connecting phrase. It connects it to the sentence before it. What, and for what cause? Because they received not the love of the truth. And because they didn't receive the love of the truth for this cause, what happened, Joe?
God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Amen, buddy.
That they shall all might be damned who believe not the truth,
man.
But have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, man. But okay, I'm going to stop there because you guys get the point, right? You get the point. Do you see from a spiritual standpoint what's happened to us? There isn't even truth in the churches anymore. In fact, the churches argue over truth. The churches can't even agree on truth. Why? Because we've all lost the love of the truth. And so there's a strong delusion that's come. That's how they're impacting us. John Diamond's busting to get in. I can feel you. Come on in, John. He walked away. He was busting to get in.
Coach, I was just fixing to say when you mentioned John, but that truth that people refuse to hear and don't... Man, that is what's happening in the so-called churches. And this verse is written to and about them just as much as it's written to and about the world.
Larry,
they are the world.
Larry, we have churches telling people to take a vaccination. We have churches who still won't open their door based on what? What is it based on? It's based on fear. We're believing lies. Come on, Andrew John.
Morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good. I ain't afraid. I'll tell you that. I ain't afraid.
Let me read a portion of the Appeal to Heaven book because it deals just exactly with what you're talking about because people don't understand the original Greek when we talk about apostasy. I'm going to read right from the book. It says, in the original Greek, the word apostasy was used in Greek literature, means a political revolt. From this, we understand the entire end times apostasy is not just a time of sinfulness or large-scale backsliding. It's an actual time of open defiance, warlike aggression against the words of God.
Wow.
In other words, apostasia is a political insurrection against the laws of God.
Man,
this is not an isolated view. Other versions call it the Great Revolt. Mankind has entered into an area of open revolt and outright rebellion and apostasy against the moral standards of God.
Amen. John, that is so good, man. So when people are so screwed up that they're going to eat Soylent Green. You say what? Soylent Green is people! Charlton Heston. Anybody remember that besides me? And here we got Bill Gates openly talking about synthetic beef. I don't even think of crawdad, let alone synthetic beef. Go ahead, John. I'm gonna shut up a minute. Well, I've gone a half hour and I really haven't gone anywhere yet, right? I really haven't. Come on in, somebody. Larry, you want to say your hands up, Larry? I don't know if you want to. Strong delusion. A strong delusion. A strong delusion that we believe a lie. It's where we are. So what do we do about it? Say, coach, you can come in and talk about all you want to, what to do. What are you going to do about it? How about a food fight? What? Yeah, pull that food fight. I don't know. I'll show you a few minutes of this. Resistance. You got the Bible says resist the devil. Resist him and he'll flee from you. This is Operation Money Drop at Trader Joe's out in Santa Cruz. Maybe we're not going to watch a lot of it, but let me give you the story of what happened. These people, remember I've been telling you, you're going to get picked off one at a time? One at a time, they'll pick you off. You're not going to win. But this group of people got together and said, we're going to go to Trader Joe's and we're going to shop and we ain't wearing no masks. We're not going to wear. So they go in with a bunch of them here and watch how they're treated in Trader Joe's and see if you don't see the spirit of delusion, confusion, and fear at work inside this. This is some dirty words, so you might want to cover your precious ears. Go ahead.
Hey, don't touch me. Don't touch me. That's assault. That's assault. You touch me, that's assault. You touch me, that's assault.
What happened? That's assault. They threw this basket. They threw the basket right there.
You know what?
Get a picture of the basket.
They threw the basket.
Right there.
Four of the people just came in and they're taping.
That's a real crime.
Okay. Okay.
You guys are troopers. You guys are troopers.
Yeah, they're 19 cents each. Or the organic are 25.
What'd you get there? You got a bag of chips?
Yep, 249.
Okay. All right. A lady threw a basket at us, like a customer.
Oh, a customer? Okay.
God bless you.
What'd you get? Okay, you got a bag of chips.
Yep, I got.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Why are y'all doing this? It's just the grocery store. Keep your political points over the
team. All protest somewhere else.
We love you.
Awesome.
We don't want
to
have
trouble with y'all.
Okay.
We will.
Hold for a second. I don't know if you guys get what's going on. This is kind of cool, and we're not going to watch it all. But these people are shopping without masks. They're picking up their food, and you see the lady's got the phone on her hand. That's a calculator. She's calculating how much she's buying, and they're going to go up because they will not check them out. So they're going to go up and they're going to put their food down on the counter and they're going to leave cash for what they bought and then try to walk out with the food that they bought. And Trader Joe's will not serve them. Watch this. Go ahead.
Get out, guys. You need to go.
So just start.
You will be helped, so you can leave. Come on.
Get out.
Right there.
Yeah,
get out.
Oh,
shoot.
Why do you want to do?
I'm buying these apples. Here you go. $4 for my apples. There you go.
And all the boxes. It's going to be $5. It's only like $4.25. Apples and bananas.
We are not serving you.
Here's $5 for my honeydew.
Honeydew, all right.
Overpaid.
Okay, wonderful.
Hold on to your melons.
Hey, don't touch my camera. That's assault.
Christy, be careful.
No. Okay, so take your money back. Take your money back.
That's mine.
Okay, you can stop it. Maybe we sprint through. Maybe we can put it in the chat and you can watch the rest of it. The manager comes up. No, he wants to accuse him of theft. He had to go through all this. We'll say, Coach, why are you showing this? Because, folks, listen, they're pitting us against each other. You get this? You understand this? They're pitting us against each other. And they're trying. It's not even a law. The next thing will be the vaccinations. You see where it's all. Come on in, Vinny.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just like I said before, this is the Morgantown Plan 2.0 in action.
Explain it to us, Vinny.
Starting with this, with the mask and the shots, then you won't be able to do anything. Anything.
You can't. You can't stay in a hotel room, right, Bobby Lee? Nope. Come on in, Bobby.
Bobby Lee won. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Who would have thought that there would be so many control freaks? And I knew there was a lot of them, but so many control freaks among us. And these are the same cockroaches we all went to school with. We should have dealt with them a long time ago.
But hey, Bobby, you heard what George Orwell said in that video, though. What? Power. Power. See? Power. And so you have people in there. They're the ones that are wearing the masks are mad because you aren't complying. That's what they're mad about. They're not worried about health. They're not worried about the spread. They may be, but they can't believe that you just won't comply. You won't fall in line, right? This is the battle that we're up against. And sadly, friends, you're fighting this in your own church. Raise your hand if you're fighting this within your own family, right? And the division, father against daughter, daughter against son, son against son-in-law, neighbor against neighbor. Can't we see the works of the enemy and what it is he's supposed to do? So what the church has always done is, why, let's just comply and we'll be peacekeepers. Remember we talked about that last week? Let's all just comply and we'll keep the peace. But the Lord himself said, that peace. You say peace, peace, there isn't any peace. There isn't any peace. My poor wife, she gets up this morning. She's going to go shopping with someone today. And she's up today stressing about whether or not she has to wear a mask. Are they going to force me to wear a mask? And I tease her, but it's not funny. It's not funny, right? And so it's the imposition of fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind and division, fighting against each other, right? Oh, my goodness. Somebody come in here, help rescue me. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, Coach. You know, I'm always up for a good fight. I just don't know where the battle really lies right now. I'll tell you what, it's not with these people who are putting their mask on.
No.
My battle isn't with them. I don't get anywhere with them. Nowhere. No. I don't think my energy should be spent there. I've read the Bible. I know what's going to happen. I know that people are going to fall away from the faith. I know they're going to look at me with hatred in their eyes. And I don't know if this is going to fight it. That's not going to stop it. We're told to blessed are those who stand in the way of the wicked. Blessed are those who stand up to them. It doesn't say blessed are those who go out and fight with them. I think by standing up to them and against what they're doing is how we fight. I don't know. People are blinded for a reason. I think this has to play out in some way. God blinded Pharaoh for a reason. Right. Maybe there's a reason these people are blind to the truth. I don't know.
So Rochelle, here's my point, I guess. Clay, come in here next. Here's my point. I think we have an obligation to try to awake those who can be awakened. Listen, these Nazis that are so far lost, I'm with you. I don't waste my time with them. But I run into people all the time who are simply looking for somebody with some courage to give them some direction. That's all I'm saying. I don't think we can prevent some of this stuff that's coming down the road, but I think the worst thing we can do is roll over and give in now. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, Rochelle, but I think that there are still many out there that can be awakened. Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, there's ways to push back against this too, and that's what we got to do. We got to be creative, kind of like these people. So, what if these people would have went in there, 20 of them, and filled their basket? You know, let's say they put their mask on, they go in there and fill their baskets completely up, you know, ready to check out with $200, $300 worth of groceries, and then they take their mask off right before they check out.
Yeah.
and there are 20 carts full of groceries, and then they refuse to take their money. Well, for one, the manager's going to see how much money they just lost, and then number two, somebody's got to put all that stuff back on the shelves, so it's going to start hitting them.
That wouldn't be very Christian.
Just wanted to share this too. There's something going around on the internet right now saying that the American people have made a declaration that March 1st, we're not going to speak this stuff anymore. So
yeah, I saw that.
I don't know how many people are going to get on board, but that's at least going around.
Hey, man, I saw that too, Clay. Come on in, Larry, and then James, and then Benny.
You know, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you.
That's right.
If you want the devil to flee from you, you resist him. If you want to let him hang around and keep messing with your oikos and your environment around you, then just sit there and do nothing. But if you want him to flee from you, resist the son of a gun.
So we have to ask ourselves, is this demonic? Is this delusion demonic? Or, very careful now, what we just read, the Lord sends a strong delusion, which is the point Rochelle was making. Sent a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. I won't talk about that. Come on in, James. Trying to get in, bud. Vinny, while we're waiting on James. Vinny.
There we go.
Go ahead, James.
Okay. Forgive me. I didn't hit my button. I shared this very same video with my children, and I got told by my daughter that I was guilty of white privilege and a whole bunch of things. So I've been praying for them that they will find the truth. And long story short, at the end of the conversation, my daughter cracked a joke. I was able to tell her I love her. You know, if we just face the facts, pray to God and ask him for help, all who call on him, he will surely answer. He answers.
Amen.
The end result was knowledge was shared and peace abounds within the
Amen.
Heart.
Amen. Amen. You shall know the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. Come on in, Roger, then Silver. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted just to give a quick testimony to piggyback off of that gentleman's, that he answers our prayers. We ask for truth and things to be revealed. He will do it. Our family has experienced that recently. We need to turn to him and ask him. And I just want to give that testimony right now. He will respond. He does answer prayers. He does reveal truth when you ask for it. It may not be what you want to hear, but he does do that. His promises are good and faithful to us.
Amen. We can ignore him at our own peril. Come on in, Silver.
Okay, let's put this in context. John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To say it in context. Because we always pull that the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
In context. There's more
to abide in it. You have to abide in the truth, right?
Absolutely.
Abide. The word is the truth, right? And absolutely. So I wrote the commentary yesterday. I'm not gonna take you there because we talked about it on the show, but I wrote the commentary, Are Christians Stupid? Are Christians Stupid? Which I thought was a pretty pertinent question, pretty fair question to ask. And comments kind of fell in two. I always get a lot of comments afterwards. And they fell in two categories. One, yes, Christians are stupid. And they explained why. And the other one was, you're not going to win people to the Lord talking like this. and I don't know how many times I typed yesterday. Listen, I'm just writing a commentary. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm just saying the truth. And are you going to lure people to Jesus by lying to them? Is that what you want to tell me? Jesus is going to use lies to draw people to him? That doesn't even make sense. So I ran down a whole litany of things that we talked about on the show the other day that stupid things Christians believe. And somebody said, well, what about the lost people? They're just as stupid. I said, no, I almost swore. I said, no Cheetos, bud. But Christians aren't supposed to be stupid. And if Christians are stupid, then what does the word just say, which Joseph just read to us? If we don't know the truth and abide in the truth and walk in the truth, then we're going to be in bondage. And half, three quarters, I don't know, of the Christian world's in bondage. Because why? We're walking in lies. We're not walking in truth. We're not reading the word. We're trusting what somebody else told us. We're not acting out on obedience to what the Lord wants us to do. And so we end up in the miry clay and can't figure out why. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I'm working some of this frustration out too. But it says to stand in the gap, and you do that by prayer. And if this, especially with people in your own family, just let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know, tell them, and just keep praying. Do it. Put it on. I know that if we're not accustomed to praying, it might not, you got to set aside time and literally pray for it. Ask God to touch their soul. Ask God to lead them, for the Spirit to lead them. That's really what we can do, because you can talk to your blue in the face. They're not going to hear you without the Spirit leading them. So we have to stand in the gap, and we do that by praying and praying again and again and again.
Amen.
And yes, as far as Christians being stupid, listen, Jesus called us sheep. Guys, sheep, it drives the evolutionist crazy. Sheep cannot live without a shepherd. We do stupid things. We get in all kinds of trouble. We need a shepherd looking out for us. So yeah, I'm a stupid Christian right here. But someone prayed for me, and the Spirit found me. And all I can say is, people that you don't think can be reached, maybe they can't, but pray for them anyway.
Amen. Amen. Hey, pull this up for me. That says content down at the bottom, Sheldon. I'm not going to read my commentary. It's right there. It's on our website. I want to show this, even though it's kind of self-serving, self-promoting. I'm not doing that on purpose. When John Diamond opened the door for us to go to Content 2020 in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and I thank John for doing that, for cross-pollinization. John presented an award, and as only God can do it, I got a chance to get my hand on the microphone. So this is the awards that John's given, presenting me the award. And I just want you to watch, and I want you to think about this as you listen to what the Holy Spirit says through me, because I have no idea what I was going to say. And ask yourself if this would resonate with the average Christian you come in contact with. Because one of the points that I was making when we went to Content 2021, that a lot of those people had a different Christianity. Folks, you know there's more than one gospel, don't you? Come on, right? You know there is. I mean, there's only one true gospel, but people are following Jesus for a lot of different reasons. So this is only about 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, but I want you to ask yourself, what would happen if this was spoken in your church? What would the reception be? Go ahead. Go ahead and play that.
For praying with his family or praying with his students, worst thing they could have done. Amen. Is they just set something free. This man has been censored and deplatformed before any of you knew what it even was.
Amen. Amen.
All right, and he's had to create his own platform, so nobody, short of the FBI coming in and taking the servers, nobody can touch that. So just talk to us a few minutes about that.
All right. Praise the Lord. Honored to be here from Columbus, Ohio. I'm a football coach. I'm not a media guy. I'm not a movie maker. I'm somewhat of an actor, maybe, because that's all part of teaching and coaching as well, right? But listen, we're going to have to come to a realization that we are at war.
That's right.
No, you don't get it. We're at war. We're at war not only for the gospel, we're at the war for the very heart of our nation. Yeah.
And part of it, I don't want to step on anybody's theology. I'm sorry, I don't want to step on anybody's theology. But you better make up your mind whether or not you think we can win. Because there are a lot of you sitting in this room don't think we can win. Some of you sitting around waiting for the rapture, and I'm not against the rapture, but I got 6 grandkids at home that if the rapture doesn't show up, they're going to live in a world I left them. You understand that? What if we get 30 years down the road and understand the mess that we have? I'm leaving that to my grandbabies. Wise man, the Bible says, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I'm going to shock you here. Hey, bro, if you're blood-bought, it ain't about you. Huh? It ain't about you. Greater love is no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Christianity is all about. Despite what you might be hearing in your puffy, fluffy, big churches, it's about laying down your life. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. Do you understand that, folks? Do you understand that? Do you open your eyes and you look at what's going on around you? John was talking about the darkness. The salt has lost its savor. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But salt loses its savor. Good for nothing. Cast out and trodden under the foot of man. I do a little morning podcast. I just got notification third. 2.5 strikes at YouTube. They're about to pull me down forever. Hey, if you're still on YouTube, why? Why haven't they pulled you down yet? Because why? Jesus said you will know the truth if you know it. You can't just hear it. You'll know the truth. The truth, if you know, it's going to set you free. Jesus Christ himself, when he stood before Pilate, Pilate says, are you a king? Jesus said, oh, some say I am, whatever. Jesus said, for this purpose came I into the world, that I might do what? Anybody know why he came into the world? He said, I'm going to bear witness to the truth. Pilate said, well, Jesus said, all those who hear my voice hear the truth. And Pilate said, oh, yeah? What's the truth? Question still being asked today, isn't it? The same question. Pilate looking Jesus Christ, the embodiment of truth, in the eye and could not recognize it. That'll preach, won't it? I didn't mean to preach. I just came to tell you the truth, right? Huh? Hey, folks, listen. Huh? We got to armor up. We got to armor up, because I'm going to tell you, this thing called Christianity. Oh, do I have to say it? I'll say it, Lord. I can say it. Somebody tell me to say it. You made me say it, okay? Huh? Listen. Some of us like Coke, the real thing. Remember Coke? You old folks remember that? Hey, some of you got to get a hold of the real thing of Christianity, huh? Hey, if you're in this room to use Christianity to advance your career, oh, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Huh? Right, Fred? You're in the wrong place, brother. Until you die, you're not going to be exalted. I'm going to shut up. Let me tell you something. We are going to win this thing, folks. No. I hear people say all the time, we win in the end, Josh. We win in the end. Oh, no. I want to win now. I want to win right now, right? I want to win now. Teddy Roosevelt said, I don't want to be one of those timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I want to win. I want to win now for the cause of Christ. God bless you. Thanks.
Amen.
That's it, isn't it?
Amen.
See, the modern Christian message is totally opposite of that. The modern Christian message is, I want to come to Jesus for all the things that I can get and all the joy and happiness. I want it for all that. When the message of the cross is to die, lay down your life. You advance the kingdom by dying. That's how we do it. Church, we still haven't figured it out, man. We're still worried about public opinion and wearing masks and what are they going to say about me? Hell, stand up and let them shoot. That's what I say. Amen. Somebody rescue me here. Come on in, Paul.
Yeah, Coach. What happened is that instead of, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it's my kingdom come, my will be done.
Yeah, that's right. That's well said, right? And it permeates all of Christianity. Randy, come on in, then Roger.
Coach, the question is, here's what we have to define. What does it mean to earnestly contend for the faith?
Amen.
To earnestly contend for truth. That's the question, Coach. Everyone's about to answer that.
Yep. Because that's it, isn't it, Randy? The whole mask issue, the whole vaccination issue, all of that stuff, the whole rapture issue. See, people say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Well, yeah, but there is only one truth. There is either a pre-trib rapture or there's not. There's either an antichrist. Folks, there ain't no maybes. Now, we don't have to argue over the maybes, but we have to contend for truth. And I can tell you this, to sit passively on your couch or in your prayer closet, if that's the only thing that you're doing, folks, that is not Christianity. It's the book of Acts, not the book of praise. It's a book of Acts. You pray and you do. And that message is gone from the church. Come on in, Roger.
A society that refuses to acknowledge God is in deep trouble.
Amen.
A nation that calls evil good and good evil and openly and unashamedly rebels against his ways is in even deeper trouble.
Amen.
That is where our nation is. And we have to decide now, are we going to fight? Are we going to take action? Our only hope is in Christ, but it's not just in the salvation message of Christ personally. It's in the message of Christ of running a country, of a culture, of what is going to be truth or lies. We are in, as a nation, trouble. And it's either the wrath of God is coming or is here, or the remnant will stand up and fight back to try to preserve and save this nation under Christ. That's where we are.
That's right. We better act like we're in trouble, Roger. Come on in, Brett.
Oh, we are acting like we're in trouble. And we start with ourselves, taking care of our personal relationship with the Lord. And then we get in a fight. We get in the game locally. I'm so excited and I get so energized by getting on your team huddle, Coach. And I want to challenge everybody. I was thinking about this last night. As I'm doing in Ohio, every single high school football coach needs to get a call from all of us. Whether you're in Tennessee or Oklahoma or Nevada or if they got high schools over there in South Africa, call that high school coach and tell them one of your own is doing something every day.
Amen. Hey, amen. Right? Amen. See, listen, folks, Jesus Christ died for us. Yes. But he died for us that we would die for him, die to ourselves for him. And the American gospel makes it all about us. We won't stand up and fight for him. We won't defend him. At the moment when he most needed us to arise, we were missing in action. I don't know why we can't see it. Paul Webb, come on in then, Larry.
I'm sorry, Coach. I can take my hand down.
Larry, come on in, Larry.
Hey, Roger, what a mic drop. Our hope is in Christ. And guess who Christ is on the earth? Guess who his hands and feet are? Guess who his body and his shoulders and his strength and his legs? Guess what? Our hope is in us being obedient and getting out there and whipping up on Satan and his people. And a lot of his people are in those things called satanic social clubs. And we need to resist them. We need to expose them. And we need to tell them where they're going. And they can go there if they don't change their ways.
Larry, don't have a heart attack, Larry. We're on a rescue mission. We got to rescue those around us who are perishing. We can't just sit back and say, oh, well, I get it, but they don't. We got to try to rescue them. What's called salt. We are the salt of the earth. We sprinkle it everywhere we go. Some people like the taste of it. Some people don't like the taste of it. Some say, I thought you were going to bring sugar and you brought salt. Say, I'm sorry, got my shakers mixed up today. Pass the salt because it will awaken the hearts of people. Many of them are simply looking for somebody else to stand up. We've got to get it out of our mind that everybody's lost. They're not. They're confused. We have to give them direction. We got to speak the truth. We got to lay down our lives. Jesus said, blessed are you You want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? Jesus told you how. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, because they persecuted those prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. My goodness, why is this so hard for us to figure out, man?
Amen.
Oh, man, I got to.
Amen.
Oh, I got my heart pounding. My AFib's working this morning. Brothers, I'm speaking the truth to you. I'm speaking the truth to you. And we have to begin to spread it and speak it. And pardon me. I don't give a damn if they swallow it. I don't care if they don't like it. My job is to pass it. We'll see you,
Mike.
Amen.
Hang on there, Spence. Go ahead. Come on in. Oh, your hand just now went up. Yo, whoever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And ye shall know the truth.
If you abide in it.
And the truth shall set you free.
Yep. And why won't we contend for it? Why won't we contend for the truth? Earnestly contend for the truth. Why won't we do it? We look around and the freaking devil's running everything. And we're playing church. We're playing church. They're forcing homosexuality on our children. They're forcing evolution on our children. They're forcing vaccines. And the churches are open the doors. Say, come in here and do it. We're the salt of the earth. We got to speak up. We can't let it go on. We'll be held accountable when we stand before the Lord. Why? Because I have a knowledge base and an understanding that my neighbor doesn't have. And it's my obligation to share what I know with him, whether he wants to swallow it or not. That's my job. I'm a foot soldier. I'm a soldier of the cross. My commander-in-chief has commissioned me to do this. Commissioned all of us to do it.
Dave.
You're not in here every morning just to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You're in here every morning because you're getting your battle marching orders.
Dave, I don't understand. When we know scripturally every disciple died a horrendous death,
yep,
not because they were going along with everything. They were killed for their statements and their beliefs. So as much as I want to follow in your footsteps, we've got much larger footsteps to follow in, and they're called the 12 disciples. They all died horrendous deaths for Christ.
Amen.
And that philosophy or that intellect flows throughout Scripture. The cost was life. And what we don't understand is that's who we need to look to. Scripture shows us and tells us of the faithful before us.
May Daniel
and what it cost them. As much as I love you and your ministry and other men here, it is simple. Read God's word and see what happened to those who stood out for Christ.
Amen. They're in the Faith Hall of Fame. Jeff Nell, last one for the day. We're already on overtime.
Brett encouraged me to call the varsity boys basketball team is a lesbian. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Hey, I love all of you. You just need a little.
Hey, light them up, Jeff. Yeah, Tell that coach that they need to work on that weak hand dribble. That weak hand dribble.
Amen. Amen, Jeffrey. Get
him. Amen. Amen. Oh, I started something now. Hey, I got to run. God bless you. I love y'all, man. Come on, we're better than this. We'll see you Monday.